Thank you.
Can we just give Lauren and Carol a hand? Thank them for being here.
It's always a joy to be at Pioneer Bible. I was telling Jim this morning, we meet for a prayer every Saturday morning. And I told the brothers, a week ago Saturday, that Pioneer Bible, in my mind, is the most supportive church of, we get into about 35 or 40 churches up here in El Dorado County. And in my mind, and I'm referring, not the financial part, that's God's problem, but just the spirit here. The spirit that you have towards the Gideons, it just overwhelms me, and I don't take that for granted. Thank you. Well, do you think this world needs some good news? Yes, this is a desperate time, isn't it? In desperate situations. We have ISIS, we have Syria, we have Iran and North Korea, and now the hurricanes, and just goes on and on and on. So we do live in tumultuous times, spiritually, financially, morally, physically. The world doesn't think too much of us Christians, does it? They think we're crazy and got all sorts of bad things to say about us. But in spite of that, there is hope. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, and then a little bit into verse 2. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me and you to bring good news." So we have good news. We have the good news. We have God's word. We also have the Great Commission. According to Mark 16:15, we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So where do we go? Every place. And who does it? All of us do it. Well, we have about 7 million plus people on this planet Earth, so it's vital that we get the good news to them. Now, the Gideons have done a little bit, about 2.3 billion in our 100-year history, so we have a long ways to go. So we must get God's word into their hands. And we're doing that as we partner together with churches, supportive churches like Pioneer Bible, distributing God's word in 200 countries around the world, 100 different languages. And my wife is shaking her head. She needs some good news. I don't know what's going on. I don't pay any attention to that. But over 90 million scriptures that have been distributed just in 1 year. And you've heard this little routine before. I can't picture 90 million scriptures, but I can picture three of them, because it's three every time your heart beats. Three more go out someplace around the world. But the time we get to the end of the year, the 90-plus million have gone out. Well, the Spirit of the Lord, and I'm going to talk a little bit about different people groups, I might call them, that are affected by this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bring good news, first people group, to the poor. We may think we're poor, but we are not poor. We're living in this country, Camille. We are not poor, are we? But more than that, we have the good news to bring. I've been in, 25 countries roughly on behalf of the Gideons, and I have seen abject poverty. I think of one time, where's Chuck? Chuck. There's Chuck. Chuck has been to Malawi, I know. I don't know if you ever saw a young lady like this, Chuck, when you were there, but I did. She came crawling on her knees for about 25 yards, maybe a little bit further, begging, hands extended. That's not her motorcycle, by the way. That was somebody else's. She came crawling on her knees for 25 yards, hands extended, wanting a copy of God's word. And we were able to place a copy of God's word along with the word of witness because of people like Pioneer Bible Church that are supportive of this ministry. I've been to India and have seen the poverty as well. They don't throw their dirty clothes in the washing machine. They go down to the river and scrub them. Oh, yeah, there are a few that do. But this is very, very common. They don't throw them in the dryer. They hang them out in the sun to dry. I've seen the poverty in China as well. So we have good news for the poor people that are like that. Another people group. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news and anointed you to bring good news, to bind up the brokenhearted. We've been talking a little bit this morning about the hurricane victims. The Gideons have a national or natural disaster Bible program to step in situations like that. I did take this picture off of the internet, but it's very descriptive of the shelters where these people find themselves. I don't know if we got the picture of my brother Sam up there. Sam is my blood brother. He's a Gideon in Texas. In fact, he has responsibility for Texas, Arizona. He just got elected in that position. He's on the board of directors of the Gideons now. I trained him up well. He's 7 years younger than me. But they were at a shelter in Austin. And let me tell you the story. My brother's the one in the light shirt. But let me tell you the story about the one that has his back towards us. He had just sold his home in Austin, closed on a house in Houston. The next day, guess what happened? He had no insurance. He's a contractor. Many of you can identify with that. He had all his belongings in these pods out in the driveway, and the waters came. He has lost everything. No insurance. He doesn't know what he's going to do. But Sam, my brother, had an opportunity to give him a copy of God's word. He says he's a Christian, and I trust that would be the case. But imagine losing, you know, how many Bibles do you have in your house? Lots. But imagine they all got flooded and they're damaged. He was so grateful to receive a copy of God's word through this natural disaster Bible program that the Gideons put in place. And they'll be doing the same thing in Florida as too. I know they will. I'm glad to hear that Puerto Rico escaped that. I've been to Puerto Rico 6 times representing the Gideons, ministering there. To bind up the brokenhearted. You got to be brokenhearted when something like that hits, whether it's the fire or the earthquakes or the floods. But as we go on, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Now, who might the captives be? Again, I've been to these countries, and they are being held captive by false religions. Buddhism, the Muslim religion. I've been to parts of Southeast Asia where there are Buddhas every place. I've seen more Buddhas than I ever want to see. I've seen fat Buddhas, skinny Buddhas, standing Buddhas, lying Buddhas, golden Buddhas, white Buddhas, any kind of Buddha that you can think of. We've seen it. And these people are being held captive. Mr. T, my driver, my chauffeur, was being held captive as well. I may have told you this story before, but I like this story because you're such a vital part of it. We were driving from Phnom Penh in Cambodia to Sihanoukville, the only port city in Cambodia. And he and the Gideon interpreter are up in the front, I'm in the back. And pretty soon my interpreter turns around and says, Mr. T, I should explain, when you rent a car in Cambodia, you also rent the driver, and that's a good thing. I do not want to drive in Cambodia. Never had a desire to do that. So you rent the car, you rent the driver, and we're driving along between Phnom Penh and Sihanoukville. And my Gideon interpreter says, Mr. T has just asked for a copy. He wants a Bible. Would that be okay if we gave him one? Well, what would your answer be? Yes, yes. You provide them. Yes would be the right answer. And we did. I gave, when we got to our destination, went in the trunk of the car, And yes, Mr. T received a copy of God's Word. We had training with the Gideons in CN Oakville. And goodbye, Carol. Where was I? Oh, we had just started a new group of Gideons in CN Oakville, and I was there to train them 6 months later. And Mr. T asked me if he could come to the training meeting. Well, all of our Gideon meetings are open, and any of you are welcome to come to any of our Gideon meetings as well. So he came. The next morning, we had some more training, and after that was over, we went to a little seaside restaurant. It wasn't much, but it was a nice setting along the coast. And the two of them are again jabbering away. And pretty soon, Hong Vanak, the Gideon, turns to me and says, Mr. T said he wants to become a Christian tomorrow. I said, why wouldn't you want to become a Christian today? And right there at that seaside restaurant, we had I'll call it a very cumbersome process through interpretation, going through the plan of salvation. You know, we're all sinners, God loves you, and all that. And Mr. T bowed his head. This Buddhist, who was being held captive by the Buddhist religion, committed his heart and life to Jesus Christ. I was there to recruit new Gideons, to encourage new Gideons, to train the existing Gideons. I had 10 different Gideon groups, we call them camps, in Cambodia to visit on that trip. And Mr. T was part of every one of those training meetings that we had. Mr. T, the former Buddhist a few days before, knows more about the Gideon ministry than the Gideons know about it, having gone through 10 training meetings. So going on in Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news, opening the prison to those who are bound. And Jim was saying this morning, they need the good news. They're bound because they need salvation. And that's how we partner together to bring salvation to these different people groups. I think of Javina Padilla and Monte Plata, Dominican Republic. I was there a few years ago, and I couldn't figure out why this man, he wasn't a Gideon, but he was so emphatic that we start a new Gideon group, a new Gideon camp in Monte Plata, Dominican Republic. Well, then I heard his story. Javina Padilla was sentenced to prison for a trumped-up murder charge that he didn't commit. And as soon as he arrived, there was another prisoner that had one of these little Spanish books, just like this. And he said, Javina, I'll sell this to you for 50 cents. Javina purchased it. I guess he didn't realize he could get it free from the Gideons. He purchased it for 50 cents, and he read it and got to the back page, that decision page that all these little books have, explaining the plan of salvation. And he committed his heart to Jesus Christ. Well, after 2 years, he was finally released from this trumped-up murder charge, but he's released as a new creature in Jesus Christ, isn't he? Thank you, Pioneer Bible, for helping that become a reality. He went on to Bible school, and today, in Monte Plata, and when I was there a few years ago, he's a pastor, very obviously supportive of the Gideon ministry, very, very supportive. And so enthusiastic that he wanted this new group of Gideons to join. We assembled the group of men. It takes six to start a new group, and we had way more than that because of his encouragement. And we started that new group in Monte Plata, Dominican Republic. But it all started because somebody prayed, started because somebody paid, and it started again because somebody placed, let alone another prisoner in this jail that sold it to him for 50 cents. Opening the prison doors. We have countless prison testimonies because of the faithfulness of people, saints at churches like Pioneer Bible. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news, to comfort those who mourn. I think of people in this audience today that have had a season of mourning and probably still are because of the loss of loved ones. Well, Amy went to school one morning, all dressed up, got on her bicycle, ready to go to school. But there's a car that ran a stop sign that morning, and Amy was tragically killed. For days, her mother would be mourning the loss of her daughter. She would go to her room, and there it was, just the way that Amy had left it that very morning when she left for school. But one day, she found that little New Testament that Amy had received at school. And as she thumbed through it, she went to that back page where Amy had committed her heart to Jesus Christ, signed her name on the back decision page. And even though she's still comforting, it brought a peace to her heart and mind. Well, Romans 10:15 says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace." As we preach, as we distribute, we do have beautiful feet. See, it's not just Pastor Jim's feet that are beautiful as a pastor. All of us should have beautiful feet as well. And guys, it doesn't say how big the feet need to be. Yeah, you got your shoes off. I hope you have beautiful feet. They look beautiful from here, but only God knows. It doesn't say how big the feet are. Little feet, big feet, fat feet, doesn't make any difference. We all have beautiful feet as we proclaim the gospel of peace. I took this picture. I think you can see this picture. I get a peek. Yeah, there they are. The beautiful feet of the Gideons in Cambodia. They came to my hotel room for some instructions. And before they entered the room, they took off their shoes out of, well, it's just a cultural thing to do, I guess. And I looked down at those, and I thought, how beautiful are the feet. But it's not just these feet that are beautiful. I think of Gideon's, you know, we accept farmers, ranchers in the Gideon ministry. They're business professional. I grew up in a farm. You got to be business and professional to make it in the agriculture business today. But these guys had come off of the rice paddies. They didn't have any shoes. And they wanted to be Gideons to distribute God's word to their people in Cambodia. And I thought, how beautiful are your feet as well. How beautiful are the feet of those that preach the good news. Well, the ministry in China continues to progress a little bit tighter than it was when I was there a few years ago. I had two opportunities to be a communist in mainland China, distributing the gospel of peace. Now we have to do things a little bit differently in China. Here in El Dorado County and all the other 199 countries, we distribute to the hotels, the hospitals, the schools, the prisons, the military, and our wives, the auxiliary, distribute to the medical field. But in China, you have to work through the church. So everybody that comes to church gets a Bible. We can't do the hotels, hospitals, schools. You have to work through the church. And then it's legal for us to do that. And we are working through the registered church to do that. So everybody that comes to church, we have an opportunity to preach. I'm not a preacher, but God puts you in different settings that stretch you a little bit. I would often give the plan of salvation as part of my message. But Jim, who's standing next to me, if we still are on the same slide, that's okay. You saw Jim before. He would give the altar call. We would have an old-fashioned altar call. And the first trip that I was there, by the end of 10 days, so we speak in 6 different churches a day, 10 days in a row, and that's wouldn't be any problem for you, Jim. I wish you could do it. But it was for me, but God was gracious. And by the end of those 10 days, over 500 people had come forward out of those packed church settings and prayed the sinner's prayer. Were they all sincere? Not my problem. That's God's problem. But I could see the tears coming down their cheeks as well. Thank you, Pioneer Bible, for partnering with us. Now, the good thing is that over the 5 years that we've been doing this, the growth rate in these churches where we've had these distributions. And by the way, I would guesstimate that probably half of the people in the church don't normally come to church. But they heard the Americans were there. They heard they would get a free Bible. And yes, they came. And the growth rate in these churches has been anywhere from 90 to 300%. Don't you wish we had that growth rate in the USA? Well, after a presentation like this, many people ask, how can I help? Well, obviously you can pray. Pray that the doors of China would continue to remain open. Pray that the hurricane victims, as Gideons like my brother, would get copies of God's word into those hands that are mourning, desperate for a copy. Pray that those scriptures would be productive. Pray for us right here in El Dorado County. We're going to start up the school distributions pretty soon this fall now. Pray that, now we have to stand out on the public sidewalk. We can't get into the schools, but pray that the students somehow would come to us. Participate. We are looking for a few good men. You don't have to be that good, don't worry. A few good men and their wives to be a part of this Gideon ministry. Jim and I were talking this morning that basically this would be an opportunity to get out of the pew and onto the pavement to distribute God's word, maybe to have that word of witness. It's a ministry that you just do it on the go. You go to a restaurant, you take out the little scripture, share it with your waitress. It's such an easy tool to have a personal witness with that. It's an icebreaker. Would you like a free gift? And you explain a little bit about the helps in the front, where to find help when afraid, lonely, anxious, abused. We've added one, addicted. And that touched the heart of a lady that Carol was witnessing to because she was addicted to alcohol. And then you might explain the plan of salvation. You know, you can do all that in less than a minute. And then you would be guaranteed to have beautiful feet. Yeah. So, if you're a business professional man, please see me after this service. And we got a very broad definition of business professional men. We don't have any Gideons in Pioneer Bible today. We need some, don't we, Jim?
It's a great ministry.
Jim told me to say this. He said, emphasize it a little bit. I mean, he didn't tell me what to say, but he agreed. I mean, he brought it up. I didn't. He agreed that we needed some representation, and it would be good for you. It would help you fulfill the Great Commission. It would just help you grow in the faith and have beautiful feet. So you can pray, you can participate, and then the practical support. It does take money to buy these. I wish I could say they came down from heaven like manna, but they don't. It takes money to buy them. In your bulletin this morning, you have a little insert describing the Gideon Card Bible Program. It's a program where Bibles could be donated, maybe in memory of someone that's gone on to be with the Lord, or maybe a special occasion. In the case of in memory, you would send the card to the bereaved, maybe write a small note inside. Indicate the number of Bibles that you wish to donate. And however many that is, you'd send your contribution back to the Gideons. This would go to the bereaved, and three blessings happen. Number one, you'd be blessed because you did it. Secondly, the bereaved would be blessed because you thought of them. And third, maybe Mr. T, maybe Havina Padilla, maybe Amy would be blessed because they found their Lord and Savior. There will be an offering received after I speak, but maybe you're not prepared to give this morning. You could take this little insert, rip off the envelope, and mail your contribution back to the Gideons as well. Well, I have more good news for you. When I was here last year, I reported that these little scriptures like this worldwide cost $1.25. I made the comment that they often come in a box of 100, so that means that $125 would place 100 of these into those outstretched hands around the world. Well, I got good news today. The price of Bibles went down. Can you believe it? The price went down. It's not $1.25. It's $1.20. $1.20. We're business and professional men. We squeeze that nickel. And because of that, the price of Bibles went down. So it's $1.20 today. So that means only $120 would place 100 scriptures. Well, if you still want to do the 125, we'd still accept that as well. But these scriptures come from your hands, through the hands of the Gideons, to those outstretched hands around the world. But as we think, we've been talking about good news this morning, and as we think about good news, let's reflect back to Amy, the little bicyclist. Good news is only good news if it arrives in time. Let's make sure the good news arrives in time. God bless you. Jim, thank you for having the Gideons here.
Stay there for just a second. I have a feeling that was way over the 15 minutes.
It's perfect. I would just like to say that our job, and we're going to see in just a very, very little devotion-type sermon today. The book is all about salvation, you guys. The book that we read, and I don't know if I can figure this out. The book is all about salvation. You know, we're looking at Ephesians in chapter 3, and the people that you know that need Christ need Christ. And we had a dear friend who passed away this week, earlier this week, and I know that he was exposed to the gospel. But so what we want you to do is just participate in this. If you would like to be a Gideon, you know, you probably know it already. There's probably already something stirring in your heart if you'd like to help these guys. By the way, how much did the Gideons your salary, your yearly salary, how much is that from Gideon? Oh,
it's, well, not so much here on this earth, but someday.
Yeah.
We've got an excellent retirement system.
So Gideons pay their own way completely. They don't receive anything from the monies that you give. When you went to Siberia and Puerto Rico and Thailand, who pays for that? You do, right? Yep. And how do you know if you're supposed to go to Siberia?
Well, I had the same job that my brother Sam has in Texas and Arizona and New Mexico. I had responsibility for the West Coast at 8 states out here. This goes back, what, 15 years?
Yep.
And I thought, it's a 6-year term. And I thought, end of 6 years, I'm just going to go back to my local camp and be a local Gideon. But then the international president came up to me and said, Lauren, I'd like you to sign you to Central America, Puerto Rico, and that part of the world. Huh. I had no desire to travel internationally. I didn't want to do it. I was very comfortable. I was very comfortable staying in the USA. I'd done that for 6 years, about 40 weekends a year. But when he and the international president said, we'd like you to take care of Central America and Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic. I knew these guys prayed. And I know you pray. You pray generally, but God answers specifically. And I thought, if they have been praying for me and want me to do that, I don't even dare say no.
Okay. Yep.
And I loved it. Mm-hmm. God changed my heart, and I don't know, things just I love to do it.
Yep. And I was just, you were telling me earlier, what's your next birthday?
February 13th.
And how old are you going to be?
81.
81. Yeah. Yeah, I just want to say, you know, God doesn't put us on a shelf, although sometimes we'd like to be on the shelf.
No.
Right?
No. God doesn't put us on the shelf. There's enough guys on the shelf already.
Yeah.
We don't need any more on the shelf.
Yeah.
We need more on the pavement.
Yep, on the pavement. And, you know, it's interesting. Willie June's dad was a Gideon. He was actually a very quiet man. He didn't speak. In fact, the last time you think he spoke for Gideon's, I think, was here many years ago.
What year was that? Do you remember Willie June? Okay.
97, 98. And you know, it was, not everybody has to be a public speaker, right? They don't have to get up and...
In the Placerville camp, we have five or six speakers, about 10% publicly speak.
Yep. So the rest of the guys
maybe
are...
A smaller percentage shouldn't speak.
Yep. It's just one avenue. You know, we do Awana, and we do all kinds of ministries. There's all kinds of ways that you can be used by God. Gideon's happens to be one that takes the monies that are given. In fact, Mark, would you help? And maybe Bob, and we'll just pass it. If you have a gift that you'd like to give to Gideon's, put it in these baskets. And if you want to give after today, you can send it like Lauren said. So I just want to pray for Lauren. We'll just keep the baskets going. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you for Gideon's. Thank you, Lord, that I think about 1898 or somewhere back there, somebody had it in their heart that they could pass out God's word to people. And now over 2 billion copies of your word has gone out. The money's for those given from people just like us. And Gideon's, who had a heart and using their retirement and their funds to be able to buy these Gideon Bibles and send them to people. Thank you, Lord, that they're in so many different languages. Thank you for Wycliffe Bible translators who have, and other translating ministries that have partnered with them and help in this effort. And God, we just pray that whatever's given here today, that you would use it to your honor and glory, that many people would be saved, that you bless Lauren and Carol and all the guys from the Gideon camp in Placerville and all the Gideons all over the world. And we commit this ministry and thank you for it, especially in these treacherous days. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you. So what I'd like to just do is I'm going to finish at 11:30, and I promise you that I'll be done. I'll say amen. I would like you to look at Ephesians just for a minute, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. And the purpose, I'd like you to see a couple of things. Thanks, Mark. I'd like you to see a couple of things. First of all, in Ephesians, the first three chapters, chapters 1 through actually chapter 4, verse 17, is this presentation of the gospel. You guys, the church is about the gospel. The church is about people being saved. That's it. Now, we're saved, and then we grow in our faith. Once you become a Christian, once Jesus grabs a hold of your heart, he draws and you accept him, you become a Christian. Then from that day on, you're growing in your faith. And you're growing in your faith for a purpose. And you're growing in your faith so that you will live for the Christ who saved you, and you will share the Christ who saved you with somebody else. That's why we're alive. And in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, we have this little passage of Scripture. Now, in this passage of Scripture are some wonderful words that the Apostle Paul wrote. They're terrific words. They're amazing words that describe our relationship with God. And here's what I'd like you to see. I was going to see if there's a coin. Anybody have a coin nearby? We don't even have. We have credit cards, right? I guess a credit card would work. Actually a dollar would work. Thank you, Logan. We'll use your example, okay? So every coin has what?
Two sides.
Has two sides. Thank you, Joyce. You win. Okay? So, I'm sorry, I'm not going to give you that doll. It's going to go for a Bible. But every coin has two sides. And I would like to suggest to you that this scripture, Ephesians 3, 14 through 21, has two different perspectives. Okay? It has two different perspectives. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 and following, you can see it for how it blesses you as a Christian, or you can see it from the perspective of salvation and what God has done in a person's life. Now, you are going to receive blessing from God by coming to Him. But let's read it. And are the words of the scripture up there? I wasn't going to go to my PowerPoint, but you can look at that. This is the blessing part. Just look in your scriptures and I'll read it to you. Verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knee." And last week we talked about worship and how we are led to worship God because He's done so many amazing things in our lives. "For this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height," I don't even know how to do all those, "to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all in the fullness of God." Let me just stop there and say, when you were saved, an amazing thing happened in your life. You were given an amazing gift. Now, I want to tell you, there are many times I take that gift for granted. I don't think about how wonderful my salvation is. Someday, I, by the grace of God, I will never go to hell. But whoever does, they'll know the contrast of being in eternity without God or being in eternity with God. I'll tell you what, you guys, we have been blessed with such an amazing gift of God that He has changed our lives, saved our souls, so we will never have to experience an eternity without God. It is incredible. In verse 20 in that passage, it says, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." So I'm just going to read you some of my notes as I tried to process through this. There are at least two perspectives through which this passage of Scripture can be seen. The first is through the context of salvation. I once was lost, but now I'm right. The second context of this these passages, blessing for believers. Okay? And so the first, the context of salvation, Ephesians 2, if you went back a page, shows how we were all dead in trespasses and sins and how God, in His mercy and great love, made us alive. This happened, as verse 8 describes, "by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Now, the second perspective, you turn the coin over, we have the salvation perspective. The second perspective is of these blessings found in here, and I'm just going to read them, and they're not on the screen, so you won't be able to see them. Secondly, it's the context of blessing for believers. And by the way, certainly this passage describes wonderful blessings for believers. In this passage, I'd like to identify seven things from God given personally to you. So here they are. The first one is that you might know the riches of His glory. Okay? God wants you to know the riches of His glory. And we'll describe that a little bit. Secondly, that you would be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. God wants you as a believer in Christ to be strengthened by Him. Number three, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. So you have this you were a person without Christ, and now Christ wants to dwell with you in your heart through faith. Number four, that you, being rooted and grounded in God's love, may comprehend the width and length and depth and height of God's love for you. I will not ever be able to grasp that, But God loves you so much, and it says that that you would begin to comprehend the length and height and width and depth of God's love for you. Number five, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I think if we were filled with the fullness of God and we understood it all, we'd probably explode, you know? But that's what Paul prays, that you would be filled with the fullness of God. Number six, that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. God wants you to know his abundant life that he has made possible for you. And number seven, that God's power is indeed working in us. So I just want to say that the overall context of Ephesians, the first three verses, though it lists probably 50 wonderful doctrines of our faith in Christ, the overall context is salvation. These blessings have been bestowed upon you because you were saved. And these blessings have been bestowed upon you for a purpose. So, let's say that I was going to give you the car of your dreams. Would you like that? I'm going to give you the car of your dreams. And let's say that I decide to deliver it to you in 7 large boxes. Okay? So I'm going to bring you the car of your dreams, and I'm going to deliver it to you in 7 large boxes. Remember there were 7 blessings that I mentioned earlier? So I'm going to deliver it to you in 7 large boxes, in which are all the brand new car parts for your dream car. Now, the purpose of these parts, when they're all assembled, is the perfect running car of your dreams, right? The parts that I give you have a purpose, right? Now, before the car is assembled, you might sit and admire the individual boxes containing the parts of your new car. You know, you may be somebody and go, in this box is my engine, the driveline, the transmission, the whole thing is right there. You might do that for a while. But what is the intended purpose? Assemble all these parts. This is the purpose. Assemble all these parts and drive away in your dream car. As we read these powerful words in Ephesians 3, 14 through 21, these words, these descriptive words of the blessings that we have as believers, when they're all assembled, what God has given to us is the perfect, powerful vehicle of salvation. Okay? Just trying in a simple way, I thought, we got to put this all together, and what we have is this powerful, powerful, perfect vehicle of salvation. Salvation is, I once was lost, and now I'm found. The scriptures tell us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So how many people need to be saved? Everyone needs to be saved. So it's time for me to wrap it up. And by the way, I'm really glad, Lauren, that you did what you did. And I wasn't sure how long it was all going to go, so I'm prepared. But and maybe next time what I'd like to do is go through and just show how these phrases are part of this perfect vehicle and powerful vehicle of God's salvation. Let me pick one and read it to you. It says in verse 16 that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened in with might through his spirit in the inner man. So God has granted to you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in your inner man. So quickly, I'm going to show you 2 sides of the coin. It is a wonderful thing as a Christian that God is going to strengthen you by his spirit in your inner man. But he strengthens you by his spirit in your inner man for a purpose. He strengthens you by his spirit in your inner man so that you will be able to live and reflect Christ. It's not just that God wants to just strengthen your inner man, Nancy. It's not like God just wants to walk with you and make you strong and make you capable for your agenda. He is strengthening your inner man and our inner man with a purpose. Like these box of parts, God puts together this purpose, and he says, I want to strengthen you so that others would know Christ. Look at the words of this verse, just very briefly, it says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. It is to God's glory that we are strengthened. The Bible tells us he made all things. He is the creator. He sent the Messiah, who is the central figure of deliverance and redemption and salvation and forgiveness, regeneration. It was God in Christ Jesus that gave God the Father the glory, and so that we would obey and we would be complete. It is a picture of God's eternal salvation. So I'm going to just stop and say that God has given us these wonderful blessings. He's going to strengthen your inner man. He's going to be there to give you the blessings of seated with Christ in the heavenlies. He is going to give you a future with him in heaven. That's why Jesus went to the cross, so that you could be redeemed and spend time in heaven. But these are not just blessings for you to grab onto and hang on to them. These are blessings for you to understand and give them away. These are blessings that God has given to you so that you could be an outfitted proclaimer of the gospel of Christ to share this good news with the rest of the world. So when Gideon's man, when Lauren came today and he was going to share about what God is doing through Gideon's, that's one avenue that the Gideons buy Bibles and hand them out. And there are thousands of testimonies of people who just pick up a Bible and start reading and get saved. And you think, how could that happen, that they just read the words and get saved? But God's Holy Spirit, God is drawing them. The Word of God is teaching them that they need him, and they're on their knees and they're saved. And we have testimony after testimony. Gideon's. We have Awana that many of you are part of, and you're sharing the scriptures with these little kids. Bob said the other day, he said, man, there's nothing better than teaching these kids about Jesus at Awana. And I just praise God. That's you know, feet on the pavement, you know, beautiful feet, sharing the gospel with others. And yes, it is wonderful that the one side of the coin is we have all these incredible blessings to grab onto. And this is such a wonderful description, this passage. But he gave you these pieces, these blessings, for a purpose. That whether you're inspecting houses or building houses or whatever your job is, that God has you as an ambassador of Christ for him there. Let's pray. Father, thank you that the scriptures are so incredibly rich. And God, from the very words of Ephesians chapter 1, where Paul says, Paul, a servant of God, he is a servant of God because you saved him and you sent him into the field to be a servant. And Lord, that's what you've done for us. In chapter 4, we're going to learn about the spiritual gifts. And those gifts are all given to us, not to hoard, but to make us effective in this going, therefore, into all the world and preaching the gospel. So Lord, thank you for our church family. Thank you for this incredible team of people who love you and want to serve you. And Lord, if there's a way that we could even be more effective or volunteer to do something, God, that we would, like Lauren said, have beautiful feet, because we're letting that be the motivation that drives us. Father, we love you, and we just commit all of this to you. Pray, Lord, that you bless this Gideon offering, that there be dozens, maybe hundreds of Bibles that will be purchased out of the gifts today. Father, we thank you, and we commit our lives to serve you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. I think we'll just be done. Is that okay, Mike? Thanks. Have a wonderful afternoon. Lauren's here if you want to talk to him about being a Gideon. If you want to give, the baskets are still up in front.